As we've been studying through the book of Hebrews, we've come to this ninth chapter that is a continuation of the preacher's argument about why the new covenant is better than the old covenant and why Christ is better than the priest of the old covenant. And we want to focus a little bit on these 12 verses in the ninth chapter that focus on the sanctuary and on the sacrifices of the priests. Now, you might be thinking, well, gee, I wish there was something a little more exciting and a little more relevant for us today. But the truth is that what we find in this passage is very relevant today because it goes beyond the obvious that Christ died and offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins, and that because of his atonement, we are saved from God's wrath and condemnation. But there's more to it. Salvation is more than just future. It's more than just eternal life. Salvation has an effect on us right now. The work of Christ has an effect on us right now. Jesus Christ redeemed us not only from wrath and hell, but from having to wallow in the mire of guilt and shame right now. Jesus promised us not only eternal life after we die, but the abundant life here and now. And oftentimes we can't figure out how the gospel has any relevance to what I'm doing right now. So I lay awake at night, churning and mind racing and feelings of guilt and feelings of shame and building all these arguments why I could feel this way or why I've said that or why I've done certain things. And, well, they deserved it. And we're just going around and around and around. And finally you get up at 3 o'clock and you watch bass fishing on TV because you just can't sleep. And it's like, well, does the gospel have anything to say about this? Yes, it does. And a great deal. The Lord, Jesus Christ, lived and died. He endured the cross. He despised its shame so that we would not have to wallow in guilt and shame. That we don't have to deal with a guilty conscience. The Lord calls us to bring our sin and shame to Him. Satan, on the other hand, wants us to bear the constant weight of our shame and our guilt for the rest of our lives. He's always accusing us, isn't he? He wants to crush us. He wants to show us how much we fail. He wants to remind us of all the things we've done wrong. He wants to bring us down. Oftentimes we try to get rid of our guilt through all different ways. We anesthetize it, so we go out to a bar to try to calm things down, or we smoke weed, or get involved in all kind of crazy activities on the computer to escape, to get some kind of relief from this guilt. And believe it or not, we even use religion to deal with this guilt. We use religion in the sense that, you know, I'm really struggling with how I feel about this. Maybe if I go to church today, I'll feel better. Or it's communion time. That's good. I'll take communion. And that means all this other stuff is going to just, I'm just going to feel better. I'll feel relieved. I'll be clean. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to church. There's certainly nothing wrong with observing the ordinance that Jesus has instituted, the Lord's Supper. And we will do this at the end of the service. This new covenant in Christ's blood, we will partake of. But where we get into trouble is when we look at what we're doing to deal with our own sin and our own guilt rather than what Christ has done already. It's subtle, and I hope I can articulate this properly. We can come thinking, gee, I'm going to take and eat the bread and drink the cup today, and by doing that, I'm going to do much better. I can leave here feeling relieved. So this is what I'm going to do. And you know, it may work for a while. There may be temporary relief. And here's the point. Nothing that we can do, no matter how hard we work at it, can take away sin. It can't take away our guilt. So after a while, we get discouraged with church. I go every week, not getting anything out of it. I'm still struggling with these thoughts that I have. I still have feelings of guilt about what I said a long time ago. I still refuse to forgive people because they hurt me. But I keep on going to church thinking that something that I'm doing here is going to make me feel better. That is not the right way to handle guilt, shame, and sin. So when we talk about the new covenant and the old covenant, the point I'm driving at here is sometimes we use a very old covenant mentality of trying to deal with our sin. The old covenant, you know, the law that was given to Israel on Mount Sinai, Moses mediated that. There was laws and there were systems of worship there, sacrificial system. There was a Levitical priesthood, and it was basically external. If I brought a lamb and slaughtered that lamb and poured its blood out, then I could be made right with God. If I fasted, that would win me points with God. If I observed certain holy days, that was good. So what happened is the focus was on what I'm doing. And that's what religion does. It has us focusing on what I'm doing to make myself right with God. The old covenant had to be replaced and was replaced because God never intended it to be a covenant that would save people. It was provisional in a sense that it had an expiration date. It was leading up to the time when Christ came and died and rose again. When the new covenant was in place, the new covenant is internal. It's internal. Now look at this passage in chapter 9. Now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence, and it is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain there was a second section called the most holy place, or as many today would say, the Holy of Holies, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it, the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. What the preacher of Hebrews is reviewing with his congregation is the Old Testament place of worship, the tabernacle. The blueprints of the tabernacle were given to Moses when he was on Mount Sinai. This is the way that God wanted them to worship. And the sanctuary had basically two compartments. There was a holy place, And then there was the Holy of Holies. When you came to worship, you didn't go into the holy place. And you certainly didn't go into the Holy of Holies. There was only one person that went into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest on a Day of Atonement once a year, bringing in blood sacrifice for his sins and for the sins of the nation. The holy place, you couldn't go into either. That was only for the priests. So what we see in the Old Covenant is that there's restricted access to God. It's not like, well, I'm going to church and I just come in and, you know, I can sit up here if I want or do it. No. In the Old Testament, you can only go so far. Jesus, in the New Covenant, is not so concerned about an earthly building because his ministry is in a heavenly sanctuary. That's where he is right now. He's praying for us right now. All right? His sanctuary is in heaven. It's a much greater place than an earthly tent. He's a greater high priest than the earthly Levitical priesthood. They would offer sacrifices, but they could never, ever have their sacrifices remove sin. That's why they had to keep on going over and over daily, day after day, offering sacrifices, year after year. They had to repeat those sacrifices to cover their sin. Their sin was covered. God did not see that sin because it was covered. But it was never removed. Only Christ's sacrifice, only His shed blood could remove the transgression, could remove the guilt. Because the punishment that the sinner deserved came upon Him. He paid the debt of our sin completely. So it's removed. It no longer exists. I will remember your sin no more, says the Lord. So when the preacher here is drawing a contrast between Judaism and Christianity, between the worship of the Old Covenant and worship in the New Covenant, we see that the New Covenant is heavenly. It's internal. It works in the heart. It works in the conscience. There's restricted access to God in the Old Covenant, but not in the New Covenant. You recall when Christ was crucified, there was an earthquake and everything shook. One of the things that stands out is the veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom, which opened up access to God. It is through Jesus Christ, as He called Himself the door in John, that we gain access to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me. But everyone whom God graciously saves and causes to be born again, everyone, Jew and Gentile, has access, unlimited access to God the Father through God the Son. So we don't have to wait to Sunday just to pray or to worship. We can worship 24/7. We don't have to have a special ritual to come before God. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb. Why? Because the Lamb has already been sacrificed. That's Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. So we come in faith in Christ to the Father. There is unrestricted access because Christ's gifts and sacrifices, He only made one, once for all, paid the debt of our sin. Whereas in the Old Testament, the priest would go regularly into the first section performing their duties. But the second, only the high priest went. But we see in verse 11 and 12, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We don't need to fear judgment day. Why? Because Christ has already been judged for our sins, and God's not going to judge us twice. Because we are united with Christ, and the Father sees us in Christ, he sees us as though we have never sinned. That's what it means to be justified, just as if I've never sinned. Jesus has taken that away. And when you're in Christ through faith, by the grace of God, you don't need to fear judgment day. You don't need to fear hell. But you also have access to God to deal with the struggles of the old nature that still flare up. Christ came to give us abundant life. And what that means is that he, through his Holy Spirit, will give us peace of mind. When that little voice in our minds keep on saying, you know, you don't deserve to preach. If the people in a congregation knew what's really in your heart, nobody, you clear the sanctuary. You don't have anything to say. And remember last week you did this, 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 and this. You know, we have Satan, who's an accuser, that loves to do that, doesn't he? He loves to remind us of our shortcomings. But the scriptures say in 1 John 2, we have an advocate. And it's Jesus Christ who stands on behalf of us before the Father when Satan makes these accusations. Jesus, yeah, that's right. Chaya did that. That's right. Chaya doesn't deserve to be up here. Yeah, Chaya sinned. Yeah, I know all that. And I died for all those sins. What could Satan do? He's accusing, but Jesus, our advocate, our defender, is saying, yeah, that's true. But because I loved him so much, and I love you so much, all of those transgressions have been taken care of. He's not guilty. So when you're laying this guilt trip on people that you can't do this, you can't do that, you're unworthy, the truth is that Christ is worthy, and his sacrifice enables us to be set free from that guilt, set free from that shame. So when we come to this table today, it's not just a ritual that we tack on the first Sunday of every month. This is an encounter with God. Christ is present today in our worship. He's present at his table. And he invites us, all who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all who believe in him, who have been born again, whether you're a member of this church or not, if you're a member of Christ's church, which means you've been adopted into the family of God, you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, you've repented of your sins, and you are walking with Christ, you're invited to come to the table. And note that when we come to the table, it's not, since my last confession, which was last month, I have committed these sins. It's not remembering us. He says, eat this bread and drink the cup in remembrance of who? Jesus Christ. See, he wants us to remember him. So that you're burdened down and like, man, I'm having a rough time. I'm making mistakes. I'm sinning. He says, yeah, I know. Come, remember what I have done for you. Remember that I shed my blood. Remember that my body was broken to pay off the debt of your sin. You are right with God. If you confess your sins, if you agree that you have sinned, in faith, Christ will cleanse us. From all of our unrighteousness. So today we encourage you to come to the table and to meet the Lord. Not, gee, maybe I could feel better, or maybe I can get this mind cleaned up. All of that is a byproduct of focusing on the cross of Christ. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, you are partaking in the new covenant, a new covenant that affects the mind, affects the heart. It cleanses us. It sets us free. It gives us a joy and a peace that passes all understanding, where you don't have to walk around weighted down by sin. Christ has taken that burden from us, and He has taken it away completely. So I invite you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, to come into the presence of God. We're already here with Him, but to be mindful of it. Don't just go through the mechanics of communion. You'll miss the opportunity for God to do a wonderful work of grace in you. He can lift a burden. But if we're just going through the motions, that's what the old covenant was. We just did those things mechanically. No. If you come and encounter Christ, focus on the cross. He will cleanse your conscience and purify you and set you free. Amen.